Hey, greetings, fellow Slingin' agents in the wild. It's your trusted handler, Brian, returning once again with another episode of our Delta Green homebrew, Collateral Damage. But I got to have my fun first, and you know what that means, the shoutouts. Our first one goes out to our newest YouTube subscriber, Christian Juliusson. Welcome to the show. We're glad you're here. Next up is Gilbert Isla saying, glad you're back. Let's get some of those doubloons going. Hell yeah, Gilbert. I'm trying to, but you know, it's these hard slingers that gotta bring it to get it. So keep rooting for them. And last, but certainly never least, good friend of the show, Henry Anderson. I like this guy. He's been with us since the beginning and hasn't left us yet. That is awesome. He says, thank you, gents. No, Henry, thank you. In fact, thank all of you awesome listeners. We bring it for you as much as ourselves. And as always, please, if you are enjoying the show, then tell a friend. It might help their day, because we never know when someone needs a good laugh. All right, try the sentiment. It's time to warm up our dice and top off our glass as Roll the Hard 20 presents Collateral Damage, Episode 3.
Hey, what episode are we on?
We're on episode 3.
Episode 3. Is that with all of us? No, episode 2 was... No, that's what we skipped, right? No, episode 2 was... We did the opening, which we landed at the airport.
That's episode 1.
Yeah. That's episode 1. 2 was Tony and...
Tony and Sam.
Yep. Tony and okay. Sam. So we're episode 3.
Okay. Yeah, in fact, you know, before we lead in, I actually wanted to say how... Even though this was kind of like we kind of put together for you two, because I needed you guys to do your own thing. I think it's actually going to work out really well because you guys have separated. In fact, I'll go into that in just a minute. I'll go into this now. You guys have separated the two teams. So you really don't know what they're doing. And correct. Because the episode isn't out, you really don't know what they did. So when you guys get back together on the same show and we start splitting the action between the two teams, you can kind of get an idea of what they were doing and they'll get an idea of what you were doing. And I think it's kind of cool. It lends credence to the reality that you wouldn't know just because you're on the same show. You wouldn't know what you're doing. So.
And you remove the possibility of one of us metagaming one another.
That's true. That's true. That's always a point of contention that I don't want you guys to, if you're not in the room, to lend assistance, but you guys lend such great assistance to one another and it's a game. Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, why don't you try this or try that? Oh yeah. You know, I didn't think about that. And so I wouldn't rely solely on somebody's intelligence and think that they lack something when somebody else would actually give them assistance. You know, like, hey, you should try this. And I think that's kind of cool because it shows everybody is moving in the same direction. Everybody wants to accomplish the same thing. So
that's right. You think this is okay?
You think this is okay? Greetings, fellow slingers. Welcome back to Roll the Hard 20 podcast. It is I, your trusted handler, Brian, with me, my hard slingers of yore.
Yeah.
Episode 3 of our Collateral Damage homebrew Delta Green scenario. So Agent Omega and Agent Odin, having been approached by Detective Tom Haynes of DC Metro Homicide and asked for your insight in profiling the perpetrator in the homicides of 3 prostitutes over the course of as many nights, you briefly converse with agents Odysseus and Akami on how to proceed. Now, having been brought to DC per Heisenberg's directive to investigate several suicides, these murders seem to have gone under Heisenberg's radar. But the similarities are uncanny. 3 suicides over the last 3 days and 3 murders over the last 3 nights, each one dying by having their carotid arteries severed. But other than that, both Detective Ramsey and Detective Haynes seem to have ruled out the same perpetrator. So with the 4 of you deciding it would be best to split up in an effort to see if there might be a connection missed by the 2 detectives, you agree to assist Detective Haynes with his murder victims, hopefully lending him that insight that he so desperately needs. As you watch Edesso and Each turn towards the elevator, the two of you turn away and head over to where Detective Haynes and his three officers wait.
And we're walking towards the bullpen, right? Nobody's with us?
Nope, just you two. You guys are by yourselves. They're okay. At the far side of the bullpen at a desk. You see Haynes is kind of leaning against it, but he's watching the two of you come towards them. And his other three officers are close by, watching you as well. Eager anticipation on all four of their faces.
So I look over at Haynes, and I put my finger up like, you know, just 1 second, we'll be with you.
He crosses his arms and kind of, you know, fidgets with his jaws, like impatiently, but accepting it. Yeah.
I turned to Odin and I said, how do you want to play this, Coldwell?
Let's figure out what kind of information they got first, and then we'll go from there.
It's interesting. We got three murders, three suicides, all the within the span of 3 days and nights. Coldwell, these have to be connected in some way.
It is a big city, so, I mean, let's not quick to pull the trigger on it, but let's find out what kind of information they got. I mean, it is highly suspicious that we do have a coincidence in between both.
All right, fair enough. I mean, it is DC, so anything could, you know, happen. So, okay, so I'll turn and I'll start headed towards Haynes at this point.
As you head towards his desk, you see just over the desk, pinned to this thick corkboard, are photos of two dead girls and a map showing an area of DC proper. It shows the photos from different angles. You see a big circle where Haynes has drawn around this portion of the city of where all these girls have been located. And he just looks at the two of you and he's like, yeah, you know, guys, he's pretty sheepish about this because you could tell he's definitely got his back against the wall. He's like, yeah, guys, you know, I'm sorry, Aegis. I just can't express enough how grateful I am. And I'm hoping that you guys might be help me and the other guys here profile what's going on here. In fact, I want to introduce you to my other three officers that are helping me work the case. The first one looks at the two of you and says, how you doing? My name's Tim Baker. Another guy comes up. He's like, yeah, Frank Arello out of Jersey. And the other guys, I'm Jared Barkley. Let us know anything that we can do to help assist you. We just got to get a crackdown. We're honestly concerned that by tomorrow night, we're going to have a fourth one. Let me kind of catch you agents up if I can. We've been working an angle on two murders that occurred yesterday and the day before. Both prostitutes, both found in close proximity. And he's pointing at the map as he's saying this. Most likely, we believe that they knew each other. I was just informed that a third girl was discovered this evening, and the body is still fresh. On-site preliminary forensics are saying she was killed in the same manner as the other two, which has prompted me to immediately go to you two agents. The vic appears to have been killed around 10 o'clock this evening, around the same time that the medical examiner, Dr. Latta, determined that the other two were killed. This body puts all three victims within a 2-mile radius of each other. But what's really baffling us is the way they were killed, and that's what had me talking with Detective Ramsey. All the victims had both of their carotid arteries slashed across the neck. But, you know, that as we're comparing notes, even though they seem similar, we don't know. We can't think it might be the same perpetrator. It doesn't make sense. I mean, his three bodies are all suicides. These are straight out young girls that have been killed. They're streetwalkers. They're not even in the residence.
Has forensics examined the lacerations to the carotid artery? Were they consistent or Were there any hacking to it, or was it one clean cut?
The two victims that have been submitted to him, his report came back saying that they're the same wounds. They're from a single straight-edged blade. There's no hesitation. One to the left side of the neck, one to the right side of the neck. The only thing that he was able to really make a determination was two things. One is, it looked like the wounds on the left sides of the neck came first, probably indicate a right-handed perpetrator, and that there were no hesitation slashes. Now, we have yet to find the murder weapon. Nothing's been left behind. So I think that the perp is using the same weapon each time. He's not just throwing it away.
You also mentioned that these bodies were found around a 2-mile radius. What location was this generally at? Are you familiar with it?
That would be over by the Potomac Gardens apartments. And it's a bad area. I'm telling you right now, we try not to go in there unless we absolutely have to. I mean,
is that some kind of like assisted living area, like government?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely assisted living. They don't take too kindly to squads going in there. Even unmarked cars are immediately shot at. Shit's thrown at them. They just don't like us on the turf. And unless we absolutely have to go in there, and like we had to go in yesterday and the day before, and like we're going to have to go in tonight. It's hard to say. I mean, it's a rough place.
Hey, officer, can you show us the map? I'd like to take a look at the map of this 2-mile radius, if I could, please.
Sure, you bet. Let me just pull that up on roll 20 for you real quick there, agent. Can you see that, Chris?
I do.
He starts pointing at the map, but he's looking down at a couple of sheets of paper as he's looking. He's like, so it looks like our first victim was found two nights ago behind the Italian restaurant on Pennsylvania Avenue near 13th Street. Busboy found her when he went out to dump the trash. The only name we have for her is her street name, Keisha Phillips. She appears to be 16 years old, and we're still running her through CODIS to try and see if she has any other ID.
And the second victim?
Second victim was found on G Street Southeast between 12th and 13th Street, right in front of Potomac Garden Senior Bid Apartments. Her name was Jonda Davis. She's 19 years old. And she was left right in front of the wrought iron gate that runs the entire front of the building. And just tonight, our latest girl, we don't have an ID on her yet. She's over on 11th Street near the Baptist Church. Late Mass was getting out, and there she was. As soon as my guys get back to me with her ID, I'll get it to you gentlemen.
Anything, any similarities other than that both these girls were dumped off with the same wound and fairly close age?
Well, it's possible that they were both being ran by the same pimp. He goes by the name of Holy Boy. He actually lives in the Potomac Gardens apartments. We had a plan that we were going to go look at the latest victim, and then from there, pay a little visit to Holy Boy. Now, I've spoke with him before, but he's kind of stonewalled me a couple times. I'm hoping that maybe a little show of force from the feds might loosen him up a little.
Don't you find it a little odd? Let me ask this. Do you think that he's a potential suspect?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to say, because who really wants to damage the product? You know, the people that are making the money. But he's hard. Words on the street that he makes these girls work some hard hours to bring in some cold cash. And I know I've heard rumors that if they're not bringing in the money, that he can get a little violent. But I don't know. Maybe he knows more than he's saying. Obviously, he hasn't said anything to me. So,
but violent to the point where he'd kill some of his girls, and more importantly, drop them literally in his backyard.
Well,
does it seem odd to you?
It does, but I almost think that maybe these girls were on the beat. You know, they were walking where they're supposed to walk. I haven't seen it at all, but it sounds a little strange to think that that the pimp would go out and rough them up while they're on their beat and just leave them there. That doesn't make sense. I understand. I totally understand. And honestly, agents, that's why I defer to your expertise. I'm hoping you could help me profile this individual and find out what's going on. So,
have any of you gentlemen consulted with gang and drug units in that area? Maybe rival heat? Maybe someone trying to take over territory?
You know, honestly, agent, there's so many in D.C. and their territorial lines have a tendency to blur. But as far as we know, they all kind of get along. If one of their workers crosses lines, they don't go after each other like that. They really don't, from my understanding. They just, they have a code, and we don't know the code, but I don't think that they kill each other's product either. I don't know.
I kind of nudge Odin. I'm like, hey, Odin, look at this map. And I point specifically at the, handler. Odin, look at this. Italian restaurant. There's a bus stop. Look over here, you know, a little bit to the west. Look at the church. Another bus stop just south. The only one that doesn't make sense is, look, you've got Potomac Garden, Senior Bid, the Italian place close to a bus stop, and then the Baptist Church, another bus stop. Do you think maybe our perpetrator is using the bus system to get in and out of this area? Hey, officers, do you have any surveillance video of this area?
No, I'm sorry, agents. No, anything that we would have tried to install in there, they would have destroyed years ago. Now, whether or not any of the locals have some kind of a CCTV or their own private external cameras, it's hard to say. I know that the Italian restaurant, they might have something like that, but I don't think they have anything towards the rear. I know that a lot of shady things go on in that parking lot. Obviously, that's probably part of that poor girl's beat. And I think that maybe the owner might have been paid to not put something back there. You know what I'm saying?
All right, fair enough.
Which just kind of occurred to me. Maybe the parking lot back there is considered a safe space. Maybe. I don't know. So if she felt safe, maybe she... I don't know. I'm so tired. I haven't slept in like 20 hours. I'm sorry. I haven't had this kind of lack of sleep since my children were born.
If this is considered their normal beat, is this the original location of where the crime was committed, where the murder might have been committed? This wasn't like a body dump of any kind, was it?
Oh, I didn't. I want to say no, agent. I mean, there was plenty of blood spatter across the dumpster area, and it looked like she got ended right there. And from what the officers are reporting in the field that are at the Baptist Church, she was done right there. I mean, I don't think anybody would dump a body right in front of a church right as mass is about to get out. That doesn't make sense. It almost seems as though she was walking on 11th Street, and that's where she was done in.
All three victims you believe were done at their particular locations where the bodies were found?
Yeah, the only one that kind of strikes me as being odd is the second one. It looked like she was kind of pushed off the side of the sidewalk, maybe into the bushes. Maybe that's where she toppled. Maybe that's as far as her adrenaline would get her. I don't know.
And have you and your officers, have you looked at this 2-mile area? Do you have any other suspects that may be living in that area, or any other gone through all the books to see who's got a rap sheet that lives in this area?
Oh,
Darn it, everybody that lives in those apartments has a rap sheet, Agent. But the one thing that did catch our attention is that the centerpiece of all these murders is that Potomac Gardens apartments. And that's right where her pimp lives. So if you extrapolate out in any direction from that location, that puts that place center. And so we were thinking most likely it's coming from there. That's why we try to lean against her pimp. If anything, just to try to glean some information. But as he's explaining this, one of his other officers, you can hear his cell phone buzz. And he turns away to be polite and he answers it very quietly. And you hear him murmuring in the background. Haynes continues on. He says, I really don't think that somebody would go and kill somebody on 11th Street. And then go further and kill somebody, and then go even further and kill another person. It just doesn't seem right. Most perpetrators, from what I read in the books, they like to work a central area.
I think it's time we go talk to this holy boy.
The individual who identified himself as Officer Tim Baker says, excuse me, Tom, agents, the officers that are on scene in front of the church, they want to know when we could be expected. They need to have the coroner move the body. There's a lot of people. Oh, yeah. Tell them we're on our way right now. Agents, are you up for a little field trip?
Most certainly. Yeah, absolutely. Let's go see this Jane Doe.
Tell them we're on our way, Tom. He murmurs something in the phone and hangs up. I got a sedan down there in the parking lot. If you agents want to follow me.
Lead the way.
So we've left our vehicle that we originally came in this parking structure. None of us have taken off. We're all getting a ride with the officers, right? We're not following them.
You're not going to follow them. You're actually going to go and join them, and they will drive you to where you need to go. Did you want to follow them?
No, I just wanted to make sure that we're going with them. We're not following. We just wanted to clarify.
Okay. Yeah, he leads you down to the parking lot, and there's a large sedan. It could comfortably sit all six of you. He takes the shotgun. You see Baker takes the driver's seat, and everybody else kind of piles in. One of his men actually rides in the middle up front so he can give the two of you agents room in the back seat. And you begin your late night journey as you drive through the streets of D.C., and as you do so, you notice that this town is like a far cry from how it's depicted in movies. You see lots of homeless milling about, prostitutes walking and leaning into idling cars, mixed with a few straggling tourists who don't really know how close they skirt the dangers of the street. And if either of you agents have been there, you know just how dark the city can get at night. Within a few minutes, your ride pulls up in front of the Baptist church and stops. Detective Haynes and his men get out, and they approach two officers that were assigned to watch over the crime scene. You see a yellow tarp covering something on the sidewalk. It's half on the sidewalk, half on the lawn. Loose crime tape kind of covers the area, not really enforcing anything. There's still a few looky-loos milling about, but for the most part, it's almost like typical scene here in D.C. You hear Haynes say, any ID yet? No, detective. Seems to be an epidemic in this area. Yeah, I'd say so. Why don't you boys give these agents a little room to take a peek, if you mind? And you see the two officers actually leave the cordoned area and just kind of post themselves, make sure nobody else interferes. Detective Haynes looks at the two of you and says, agents, if you'd like to take a look at the body, feel free, please.
Yes. Do you mind if we get some examiner gloves? We don't want to contaminate your crime scene.
Certainly,
here.
Certainly. Frank, can you get them something out of the trunk?
Bring some of those booties too for us. We don't want to contaminate with our feet either.
Yeah, you got it, guys. And Frank Arello from Jersey goes to the trunk, pulls some gloves and some booties out, and two large flashlights. And he comes back over and he says, "Hey, here you go, agents. Anything else you need, just let me know. I got all kinds of stuff in the trunk of this car." So, do you imagine?
Thanks, officer.
Everybody leaves you with this tarp-covered body.
And we're by ourselves now?
You both are by yourselves with the stuff. With the... You both are by yourselves. You both are by yourselves with the body.
Hey, so, Coldwell, I think... Let's take a cursory look and see if we can find some money shaped into a triangle first.
Most definitely. You want to check the pockets?
Let's not look at the body just yet. Let's just look around the body and see if anything's near that's not stuffed into her pocket.
The body is still covered, by the way. So
yep.
We're just checking the surrounding perimeter for
surrounding area. Yeah. Very okay. close. Yep.
Go ahead and make a search check.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Ooh. Rice.
2 under 51.
Coldwell.
I got 66, which is over my 50.
Okay. Rice, as you're poking around, looking in the grass, looking along the sidewalk, you've got your mag light out, you're illuminating the whole area, and you don't find anything at all.
Money, nothing that looks suspicious.
Nope.
Okay.
Nothing at all. You see droplets of blood. You see trampled grass. You see a loose shoe off to the side, but you don't see any currency. Certainly nothing folded.
Does the trail or the droplets of blood look like they come from the grassy area to where the victim is, or is all the blood kind of localized to the location where the body sits right now?
It looks like it stems from the sidewalk and then trails to underneath the tarp.
So all within very close proximity to the body.
Within 5 feet.
Okay. All right. Hey, Caldwell, I don't see anything, you know, kind of in the immediate proximity that we should be looking at. It looks like this happened right where the body's at. So that tells me that, and we're right on 11th Street, right, Handler?
That is correct.
So Coldwell, it seems like this happened like in broad daylight, right on the street. That whoever perpetrated this wasn't afraid of doing it out in the open.
Wasn't worried so much of someone seeing him. Now, if I pan the area, is there a field across an empty field, or is that like a school? What's across the street from the Baptist church?
It looks like there's some kind of a field. But you're talking a span of maybe 50 feet before it even begins. And being as dark as it is, it's really difficult to tell how deep it goes or what its serviceable use is.
Okay. I just wanted a kind of a general idea of the location I'm around.
You see a lot of people begin milling about, even though the two officers that were originally stationed there, as well as the detectives, are trying to keep everybody kind of back. But it seems that with your arrival, there's a new interest in what's going on.
Well, Omega, we got a lot of looky-loos coming out. What do you say if we take a look at this poor girl?
Yeah, that's... I lean down. We move over to the body. I lean down and I lift the tarp.
You pull it up. You notice... She's an African-American girl, approximately 17 years old. Really thin, maybe 96 pounds. But she has these two deep wounds, these two very deep lacerations on either side of her neck, to the point where you could almost see her spine on either one side. It's just a ghastly scene. And I need for both of you to make a sanity check as you see this inhumane way to treat another human being. Omega?
I rolled a 1.
You pass. Odin?
I rolled a 4 and a 00. That's 4, right?
That is a 4. So you both pass. Having been going through a lot of this stuff, especially back there in Groversville, seeing all kinds of weird shit go down. It's not that you ever get used to seeing the unnatural, let alone somebody being dismembered, but you almost pretty much expected this based on what Detective Haynes had described previously. So even though you feel a little bile come up, you just kind of hunker down and get through this shit. One of the things you do notice also is that either one of these deep lacerations would have been enough to kill this person. And yet, this young girl was inflicted with two.
Can we tell from the wounds, were they trying to decapitate? Or was it literally, I mean, the second wound looks like just a fuck you slash.
Or just to ensure that he made the kill.
That would probably entail some kind of a forensics check.
I'll give a forensics attempt on this.
Okay.
I failed 68 over 50.
Okay. Odin?
We got better forensics than I do, but I'll give it a shot. Ooh, 9.
9. As you look at this wound, both wounds, you notice that they come from the back of the neck to the very front of the neck at a 45 degree angle inwards on either side. And even though you can see the spine, I'll let you take away from that what you will. In fact, if you want to take a guess, I may even give you a gold doubloon.
So it's a back to front.
It's back to front at a
45 degree.
At a 45 degree angle.
So that is...
Hold on. Let Odin make that first.
I actually don't have a clue what that might be.
Okay.
I know he's killing her, but the only other thing that comes into my mind, which I doubt because I'm going old school swordsman, is like Zorro style, but that's the only thing I have in mind.
Omega, I want to hear what you had to say. The gold doubloon's off the table, but I want to hear it anyways.
So back to front, 45. So it's literally like symmetrical slashes across the neck.
That's correct.
Is it one knife or is it two?
From what Haynes had said previously, it looked like the deeper of the two wounds was on the left side of the neck compared to the right side.
So that leads me to believe that the perpetrator is right-handed and that it was a slash like this and then this. So it was kind of like this.
Left side of the neck would be right-handed coming across the left side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But it was this type of emotion.
Yes.
And
for the listeners that can't see,
yep.
Chris is indicating a diagonal from right to left and from left to right.
And the perpetrator was in front of her, so she saw her victim. Or she saw her perpetrator. Yeah, but I should... Okay, never mind.
Give it to me. Let's hear it.
Even if I didn't pass the forensics, knowing that at least it's a back-to-front cut, whoever the perpetrator was, it has to be a cut from the front, that they had to be facing each other.
Okay. Now, going back to Odin's original question, do you believe that there was a capitation element to this?
No.
Why? Gold doubloons back on the table.
I think a decapitation would have more of a sawing type of motion. That these, at least from what we know, that these are just very forceful swipes of this blade across the neck in that diagonal fashion.
I'll go with that. And with that, I'll give you a gold doubloon.
Yeah.
Yay. There you go. We got to get these things out in the wild. Our agents need these things. So from behind you, you hear Detective Haynes say, agents, do you have anything else? Did you come up with anything or what do you think?
Hey, Haynes, make sure you keep all those people away. We're still conducting our investigation here. looks like you got a lot of looky-loos, but we want to preserve the scene, so make sure your officers are keeping them back away from us, please.
You bet. You bet. I just want to make sure that at some point we're going to go deal with this pimp, or did you have something else? What's the plan, agents? And as he's like walking back towards the line, but he's still looking at the two of you as he's got a handout towards people that are trying to press forward, but he's just curious what's going on.
Yeah, we're just looking over the scene and looking over the body. I mean, just give us a minute. We're just wrapping it up, and then we can go talk to Holy Boy.
Sure, agents. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Caldwell, did you happen to see any... we need to look on this body a little bit more and see if there's that currency in the folded like a triangle.
I agree. And then should we do a search on the body? I don't know how like in depth. Yeah, exactly. Had to check that third cavity.
I didn't find a $10 bill, but I found a roll of fucking dimes.
Okay, so can we do a search a little bit more of it now that we've kind of got the tarp up, but still shielding the body from anybody being able to see anything? Can we conduct more of a search if we can find currency?
Yeah, it's more of just a tarp laying on the body. It's not a tent or anything like that. So
yeah, but
yeah,
I want to be careful though that we're not lifting it,
sure,
and exposing it to people around. So.
Yeah, tell me what you guys want to do. Let me know.
Okay.
How's your search? Do you want me to do it or lift up the tarp for you, and you can kind of like pat the pockets or whatever, you know?
Yeah,
check that inner boob pocket too.
Yep, let's do that. Can you do that? I mean, this girl's small. She's small, so this is going to be a pretty easy search at 96 pounds.
And I'm not even going to ask you guys to roll for this. Just tell me what you're looking and where you're looking at.
She's clothed, I'm assuming, still. So I'm going to look at any pockets.
She's wearing like a mini, like a almost like a sundress kind of thing, even though it's a little chilly out. You know, she wants to show the merchandise. I hate to be that blunt about that, especially to our listeners, but she's trying to sell herself, you know, so she's showing a lot of skin that you normally wouldn't see.
Okay, so
tell Omega, you know, heels, what kind of shoes, sorry, because this makes a difference.
She's wearing one shoe, the other one's a couple feet away. They're flats, sandals.
Okay. Because if she was wearing shoes, I'd say check inside the socks or in the shoes or something. But if she's wearing flats, then that eliminates that.
Yeah, again, we're just checking like every potential place that there may be cash that she's holding on to, whether it's a clutch purse, shoes, socks, pockets and dress.
You see that there is a bit of a bump on her right side underneath her dress.
I'll gently lift that side of the dress where I see the bulge.
Okay. And as you lift the dress, you notice two things. One is that she's wearing underwear. And two, there appears to be some kind of a little billfold wallet tucked into the band of that underwear.
Okay. Hey, Caldwell, I'm going to remove, you know, just keep this covered. You know, I don't want anybody seeing what we're doing here. You know, I observed that there's a billfold that appears under her underwear. So I'm going to gently lift up that portion of her underwear and remove this billfold.
Okay. As you open it, you notice that there's a few bills in there, as well as a high school ID. The name on it says Shana Brown.
What's the name of the high school?
El Capitan. It looks like it's in New Mexico.
As Officer Omega is doing that, and I'm just observing, is there any indication of drug use, like tracker marks, tattoos, or anything that are visible through the outside? I assume this girl's pretty much, like you said earlier, showing off the merchandise, so she's very lightly clothed.
Now, being a federal marshal, you can either use a forensics check or an observation check on that.
I'm going to go with my forensic check. So that is 10.
You check both arms, left, right. Check the inside of the legs. You check between the toes, the base of the feet, any place that it's probably common for somebody to inject a needle. And you don't see any puncture marks at all.
The only reason I ask is because Agent Odin's background, he worked on a human trafficking case prior, so he's familiar with a lot of the times that they would keep them in possession with dosing them of some kind, whether it was heroin, keep them on the needle of some kind, or keep them on some kind of drug to get that paranoia that if they run away, something worse will happen to them. So he's just trying to find like similarities of, you know, drug use to, you know, manipulate them.
Tell me more ways that you would be investigating an individual for substance abuse or dependency like that.
So should this be Caldwell like saying this out loud?
Yes.
I mean, well, the two of us should be like anything we're talking about should be out loud to one another.
Well, you could ask him what he's doing, but I'll tell you what, I love that you're doing this. I mean, this is like gold because it actually tells me more about your background and your profession and how you take it. So, yeah, if you want to, you know, as you're looking around, as you're doing that, you know, Chris, if you want to ask him what he's doing.
Yeah, because remember, I'm worse for the ATF in more like technical support type stuff with them. So,
yeah, go for it.
Okay. Hey, Odin, what are you doing here? What are you looking at?
I'm trying to see if they kept these poor girls, if these holy boy kind of controlled these girls using some kind of drugs. You know, a lot of times we've seen when they human traffic them that they make them dependent on some kind of illegal substance, whether it be heroin, meth, something to kind of numb the pain so they can get through and become more of a slave. Someone that can't react or fight back is someone easier to take more control and possess.
Do you see any of that evidence of that here? I mean, this is a little out of my wheelhouse, so I'm deferring to you, but do you see any of that here?
I don't. I mean, check the toes, check anywhere that they might hide it. They don't want to make it too obvious because if you damage your goods, you can't sell it for a higher price. You know, and all like check her mouth and, you know, behind the ears and stuff. And if I don't see anything, then I'll just wipe it off that she wasn't under the influence of anything. But I mean, we can't rule out any pills or other narcotics. Yeah, a couple months ago, we were working a human trafficking ring. These poor girls, we found a stash house of about 12 of them, and they kept them in cages like wild animals, like pack of dogs. And all of them were completely twigged out of heroin. And these guys will just show up to these locations and they'll pay per the hour, per the room. And the only way they kept these poor girls locked up is by having them drugged up. You know, it going into places like this is just never leaves your mind.
So Megan just replies, I'm like, what the hell? Like, how can people be so, especially to the 17-year-old girl? She has her whole life ahead of her.
Some people don't care. They're just product to them.
We got to find this guy, Odin. We got to find him.
And I know that those visions will never cease. No amount of drinking or any other vice can help diminish that damage. But I only hope that a gold doubloon will help ease that. Way to go, Junior. Woo-hoo. Good job on that.
Yeah.
Story. We got two. I love it. You got two? Nice.
No, we got two in the episode. Oh.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you guys know this, but if you have any left over from any of the previous seasons, they carry over on Delta Green. They don't carry over from like Blood Lords or from D&D or anything like that. But they'll carry over from our Delta Green sessions. So.
Wait, hold on. Let me fetch that old gold to bloom. Oh, there it is.
Ooh, there it is.
Nice transition.
So Detective Haynes kind of leans back your direction again and says, you know, agents, I really hate to be a stickler, but the ME just showed up and he's wanting to clear the body off site. You good if we release it?
That's fine with me.
Yeah. Let's, I think we're done here. Let's let's wrap up and go see this holy boy that you spoke of.
Sounds like a plan. So he gestures towards an individual next to a van. He looks like an older man, pudgy, hair kind of combed over. This man looks beat. He just looks wiped out. Haynes gestures for the two of you to rejoin him over at the sedan. And you all pile back in. And Baker gets behind the wheel once again. And he starts driving north up 11th Street Southeast. And he makes a quick right down an alley about 500 feet away. With all the street lights busted, your only illumination is the headlights as they pierce the darkness. And what they reveal is frightening. And I'm going to tell you all about that next session.
Knew I had to come. I was like, this is where we're going to get shot down.
Pop, 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 pop. Everywhere's at the bottom of the stairs in this show. Thank you for joining us once again on Roll the Hard 20 Podcast. Remember, you can find us and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts, and Audible. And if you like what you're listening to, be sure to leave us that 5-star rating and review. Don't forget about our YouTube channel at Roll the Hard 20. So if you're into watching and you want to help support the show, then head on over and hit that subscribe button. It really does help the show out. We can also be found in the wild on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, so don't forget to look for us there and check us out. You can also contact the show directly at rollthehard20podcast@gmail.com or head on over to the website at rollthehard20podcast.com where you can download the current show directly, pick and choose past shows from our archives, or view our galleries. We've got a lot of stuff posted over there, so check us out. And finally, join us on our Patreon at patreon.com/rollthehard20podcast, where you can become a hard slinger and pick up swag. So until next time, keep your dice warm and your glass topped off as you roll those hard 20s.